I'm Steve Hamburg, and I actually work with John on the a project that we have at Brown University. And what I'd like to talk today is to take the sort of framework that John presented, the social science framework, and scale it up a little bit to think about this link between social and natural disturbance regimes and how we can think about the frequency. Because we tend to think of Katrina and Rita as sort of a one-off experience. And we heard yesterday about the intensity of the storm surge and how unusual it was. But we really need to think about the context in which it occurred and think about other storms and the framework. So I'm going to spend a little time sort of introducing that that larger frame. So again, we've got a Katrina path. We saw it yesterday. The important distinction, Katrina got to a, these colors are related to the wind speed, so you're up to a category 5 here, and then it's going back down, and it quickly actually drops off when it hits the coast. But one of the things we can think about is how representative Katrina is. And we do need to think, again, the context we're thinking about, the hurricane hits. John talked about the built environment, and I'm going to talk about natural systems, but there's an interaction between social structure and how these things relate. And I'm going to at least be a teaser to how do we start to put these things together. And this is a context sort of to go along with John's slide. Here we are, though, in the natural environment where this trailer got blown into the forest. This is a year after the storm, and it isn't cleaned up nearly as quickly as, even though New Orleans wasn't cleaned up quickly in the natural world. Again, the context, this is a remote sensing image of New Orleans immediately following the storm. So the lower panel here, the dark is the flooded portions of the city. I'm going to expand out from that. So now we think about it not just as a New Orleans phenomena. Katrina hit a much broader area than just New Orleans. So here we can think about, again, this is the same time frame, the same Landsat scenes, and we look at the Pearl River Delta, and we see darker colors here. We see lots of darker colors, of course, going to the south. We talked about the wetlands yesterday. So there's impacts over here. There's impacts across the region, and I'm going to focus on those larger set of impacts and the resilience of that system. And if we look at, this is an image of looking at the impacts of Katrina, the brighter, the more magenta colors are representing more change. So you get a pattern of the spatial scale of change in the vegetation, the water, across the entire region. So while most of the focus was on the immediate coast in Mississippi and New Orleans, we've seen change across the region. What can we learn from these patterns of impact and how that tells us about the resilience of the system, as John talked about it? So we can model it. This is some of the work we're doing in our group. This is just looking at the damage impacts of Katrina and what are the scales of impact, and can we pick those up with remote sensing tools, and can we model those impacts not just on the built environment, but on the natural environment, and link the two together? And just again to create some images to think about it, this is a year following Katrina, and this is recovery in the forest. So I'm a forest ecologist by training, so I'm most interested in the natural science part. I leave the social science part to John. And this is just, again, one of the intriguing things. You go down to the coast, the house is gone, the trees are standing, and they're leafing back out. That is the paradigm, both here in New Orleans and along the most impacted parts of the coastal zone. Let me just give you a sense. These are all from a year following the storm, about a year ago. And we can look at the recovery now. So now we're not looking at impact. So less recovery simply means it probably wasn't damaged a lot and it didn't change a lot a year later. But the green areas are places that are recovering. So again, the Pearl River Delta here in these cypress swamps are coming back quickly, but there are vegetation differences, so some other parts in the weren't that impacted and thus haven't recovered. So we can start to look at what's the rate of recovery in these systems. Now this is another year later going back to Waveland. Here's Waveland right on the coast. And the forests don't look that different, but we can take that apart a little. We're just building this database, so what I want to do is look at it in a little broader context and use some data that we have from other parts of the world to try and take this apart. So let's expand out a little more. So we're not just talking about Katrina now. Now let's think about North Atlantic hurricanes as entirety. And this is just a plot of every storm track, hurricane storm track for a 55-year period from 1950 to 2005. And let's build those just for the Gulf Coast. So what I'm going to show you now is these are the storm tracks here of Category 5 storms. And I'm going to build on it every category going down. So 5 is the strongest. This is that 55-year record. We're in the Gulf Coast using Gulf Coast storms alone, not ones that were in the Atlantic area, did the Category 5s occur. Now we can add Category 4s to them. You're still not getting too much hitting the coast, but you're getting some. Category 3s, they're starting some of them. Notice the important distinction between them. So some, here you got a Category 3 that goes all the way halfway north through Alabama. But most of them hit the coast and slow down, or get even near the coast and slow down. Now we add Hurricane 2, number 2 storms, and number 1. So we create a population of hurricanes. But I would contend that unless we understand the aggregate impacts of these hurricanes, we really can't understand the system in which we're working. Well, let's back up even another step. So we've got Atlantic storms. Well, it turns out they're hurricanes, cyclonic wind events, typhoons in the Pacific around the globe. And the place where you get most of them is actually in the Pacific here. So we have Atlantic, we have the Northeast Pacific. Most of those are over open water. We don't see a lot on the West Coast, though some. And then we have them across the globe. And we need to, again, think about this phenomenon on a global scale and what can we learn about it from globally. And this is just, I'm going to stick with the northern hemisphere. So this is just here's a plot again of all of those North Atlantic ones. And here's a plot of the ones in the Pacific. I'm going to zoom in because that's not a very useful projection. And I want to look at 4 specific study areas. I'll look at the Gulf Coast, which we just talked about, New England, where we reside. I'm sitting right here in Providence. Puerto Rico, which is here in the Caribbean, of course, and Taiwan. And what's useful about doing this comparative approach is the frequency of hurricanes and their impact differ by orders of magnitude. So let's just go to the illustration of what we see. Here's the pattern of hurricanes over that same 55-year period for Puerto Rico. So it's a smaller space than the Gulf Coast, but it has a fair number over that 55 years that have gone directly over the island or within 100 kilometers of the island. Let's go to New England. New England is further north, as you can see in the overall pattern. It gets fewer storms. This is the track of those 55 years. And added, for those of you who know your history, this is the course of the 1938 hurricane, which was the last really big hurricane that, sort of like Katrina, devastated New England. And in fact, because here we're on the right side, the strong wind side, 500 people died right here in coastal Rhode Island alone. So it had, in terms of the death toll, it exceeded Katrina. Of course, they didn't have as much warning. But just as a point of contrast, that was the last time, and it made all the way up into Canada, that we had such a large event. This is Taiwan. Now here I haven't plotted all the storms for 55 years. Here you can see this mess over here. This is just from 1 year. We'll come back to that in a minute. So this is an area that gets many more storms, and it's very predictable. Most of them have a course that almost looks just like this. And I'm going to talk about a site right up there. So it's on the high wind side, and they come straight across the island. They bounce around a little bit in this zone and then hit the mainland of China. And let's think about these numbers a second, just to paint this picture. So this is a designation in 5-year time bins from this 1950 to 2005. We've got the strength of the hurricane. So this green is a Category 1. This little sort of off-green tan is 2. 3s are blue. And then we'll see others. So this is New England. This is the pattern of hurricanes in New England. Same scale. We're not going to change the y-axis, total number 14. this period. This is in the Gulf Coast. No surprise to any of you, the Gulf Coast gets more than New England. And it's fairly even, right? The intensity changes. Here's a Camille. So you're getting, you know, getting some variation, and the numbers are going up. Here's Puerto Rico. If any of you follow the news, Puerto Rico's and hurricanes have been in the news a lot simply because in the late 90s, they got hit by six. So it's not typical of the overall region, but it was, they had some bad luck there for a while, so they were getting pounded. And that's Taiwan. All right? So here you can see, these are Category 5 storms. They occur not all the time, but they've occurred many times. There have been a total of five in that same period of time, so on average one a decade. And you never have a five-year period without at least five or six hurricanes. So you've got this wide range, and up until now, no one's tried to use this natural variability to understand systems. All right, so this is just a summary. This is the total number of hurricanes that have occurred in that period of time. Here's the mean number. It should say mean number per year. So in Taiwan, you're getting 1.7. The Gulf Coast is getting 8. And here's the regional, the sort of area of exposure, because we have very different sizes to these areas. So they're by about a factor of 5 almost difference in areas. So we can normalize it. So not probably the best graph, but this is normalized. The number of hurricanes per typhoons per 100 kilometers of exposure. So again, here is Taiwan. Here is Puerto Rico. Here is the New England and the Gulf Coast. So New England actually beat the Gulf Coast at some points. Now, simply because there's a smaller area, and in the past we had quite a few or numerous, and now we've had fewer. So we can normalize this area. I'm going to talk in the last couple minutes that I have, because I'm about out of time, about three specific study sites, long-term ecological research sites, where we have intensive research, sort of coming back to the societies and the kind of work we can do, where we can compare the impacts of three different storms and three different locations. So we're comparing Harvard Forest and Hubbard Brook in New England, where the last big one was 38 hurricane, which was a Category 3. At Harvard Forest, 70% of the forest suffered damage, and it completely devastated that region. Luquillo in Puerto Rico, the last Category 3 actually wasn't Hugo, but we have more data on Hugo, was 89. And there was 9% uprooting, 11% bowl snapping. And then at Fusan, which is an LTR site in the Taiwan system, so it's comparable, in 1994, there were 6 typhoons, 3 of them were Category 3, and less than 1% of the forest was in a gap or associated with a gap. Basically, there was no impact. And here's the categorization of those hurricanes hitting those specific LTR sites now. 1.4 in Fusan, two orders of magnitude essentially less in Luquillo, and even a little less in New England. This is the forest from Fusan. Doesn't look like it was hit by a hurricane, yet it was hit by a hurricane months prior to that photo. That's Puerto Rico. So that looks more like the Gulf Coast. And one thing that often, when we did submitted our first paper on the impacts of hurricanes and typhoons and compared Fusan with other places, the reviewer said, oh, those are typhoons. Those are nothing like hurricanes. And said they should reject the paper because we were completely off in our conclusions. Well, this is just, for those of you who don't believe they're same events, this is the average wind velocity in Taiwan for one hurricane versus a Category 3 hurricane versus the Category 3 hurricane in Puerto Rico. Long sustained winds in Taiwan. This is some data on looking at the leaf area index. How many leaves are out there in the forest per unit meter squared of the ground? So 4.5 means there's 4.5 meters of leaf for every meter square on the ground. This is 1994. We luckily started our measurements just before the six hit. They went down by a factor of 3 and then slowly took a decade to build up. And we had no hurricanes the next year. We got a few the next after that and slowly built up, and the system recovered. The litter inputs sort of showed the same. Lots of things, of course, fell onto the forest floor because then we had less input going forward. This is just some pictures from Lakio showing this is what it looked like year one after Hugo, year five, year one, year five. I'm going to speed up here. I'll skip that. So then if we go to New England, we unfortunately don't have good data for 1938 hurricane. No one was out there doing the kind of science we do today. But this is a map of an ice storm that hit at Hubbard Brook LTR, which was very similar in kinds of impacts. And this is just a map of the impact of that ice storm in 1998. And while it's not exactly the same, we can look at the speed of recovery because the forest, this is just while the ice was on, in many ways structurally had the same impacts as the wind would. And this is some work that one of my doctoral students did looking at the ice storm was in 98. We had big impacts. The low elevation wasn't impacted. Middle and high was. This is the LAI. And by the third growing season, this is the first growing season post-storm, third growing season post-storm, the system was recovered. So in Puerto Rico, it took a little longer. In Taiwan, it took a lot longer for it to recover. And the trees are very short in Taiwan, which is an adaptation to the forest. In Panama, where you don't get hurricanes, we can compare it to Puerto Rico, and we see that the forest is shorter there as well. These systems are adapted to the hurricanes. The last point I want to make, so basically we have a system where we get hit a lot in Taiwan, the trees do not fall down. They lose their leaves, but they don't grow back right away because it's a high cost risk, because you may get hit again. So they come back slowly. In New England and in Puerto Rico, the leaves come back as quickly as they can, but there's lots of structural damage. They're not as well adapted. Well, let's look at streamwater chemistry. This is the nitrate concentrations, because these are gauged watersheds with good streamwater chemistry. And look at the streamwater chemistry following Hurricane Hugo. And you'll see that here the storm hits, and we have, this is nitrate N micrograms per liter. It goes up to about 400 following the storm, and it takes roughly a year and a half to 2 years to come back down to base levels to recover. Let's contrast that. We unfortunately, and we see a very similar pattern to this in New England. I didn't show the data. This is the data from from Taiwan, from a single typhoon, Typhoon Herb, in 1994. And here you have the typhoon hits. Now we're not talking about years, we're talking about days. We said 400 here, goes up to about 325, 2 days following the typhoon, and 5 days following the typhoon, you're back down to base levels. So the system recovers in 5 days in terms of exports of nutrients in Taiwan. So what determines the impact? It's frequency, intensity, and vegetation type. And they're not more disturbance causes more impact. There is a lot of adaptation in natural systems around the globe, and we're only beginning to scratch the surface to understand it. What we don't know are their regional patterns. We don't have a lot of this kind of data. There's a little bit of data from Okinawa and a little bit from mainland China, but we have very little data to understand these systems. So we don't have the knowledge to predict on a wide scale, but I think we need it to understand impacts. And we need to start thinking about how these interactions between the built and social environment occur, and to what degree, this sort of question that John raised, are the human systems resilient in the ways the natural system are? Or could they become more resilient as we understand these systems better? So in ending, the frequency of cyclonic events matters, and not in the obvious way. So the fact that you have more, if you go to Taiwan, and there's a city right near our study site, you would never have an idea that it is hit by an average of 1.5 hurricanes, category 3, every 3 or 4 years. It looks like any other place. I had no clue until I looked at the data. The first time I went there about 15 years ago, I would have no clue it ever happened. So the other thing is we need to move, it should be not sit-based, site-based, to regional patterns, and we need to start thinking about how the systems work, moving away from the very focused impact work that we do. We get totally focused, understandably, on sort of the response to individual storms. We haven't backed off and understand the patterns, and in turn, we need to use the natural variation in the globe, in the number of impact places and the number of storms that impact them, in order to better understand these systems. There's a lots of places in the world with a lot less income than we have along the Gulf Coast, who sustain far more storms with far less impact, both in their natural systems and in their built environments. Not sure what the lessons that are that we can learn from that, but I know there got to be some if we start to study it. With that, I'll end. Thanks very much.